Church. Glad you're here. Yeah, I know. I remember doing church one night. We did Westbridge. We were back at Phillipsburg Middle School, and something happened where we couldn't have our normal room, which was kind of right in the front of the building. They put us down a hall in a gymnasium, and it was a blistering hot night. It was so hot that our sound system shut down. And we did the whole night with no sound system because it overheated. I guess it's got to be close to 100 in there. So we're still well below that. How's that? We're doing a lot better than that. Yes, absolutely. I'm very excited to be studying the subject matter here in Matthew chapter 5 and what we're going to be studying over the next quite a few weeks. Now, I love this section because it focuses on very practical issues in each and every one of our lives. And you know, practicality is really one of the core values that Westbridge has put forth in its teaching and in its counseling from day one. And that means we make the Bible applicable to everyday living. Now, don't get me wrong, I can debate theology, I could talk dichotomy versus the trichotomy of man all day long, and I would enjoy that, but really my ministry heart and my teaching heart have always beat stronger for the down and dirty, nuts and bolts, in and out issues of everyday life. Now, you'll remember, Jesus started his sermon by explaining to people how they should view life and where true contentment, where true joy, and where real fortune are found. Jesus then informs them that their lives are about way more than just their individual existence. He tells them that each one's attitudes, each person's actions, and each person's beliefs are designed by God, ordered up. This is his plan. Those things are to have an impact on others around them. You see, God is banking. He is banking on believers, their exuberant, their joyful life. He's banking on that to attract others to him. The God who wants to give life to the dormant spirit that lies inside each and every one. So starting in verse 21 of chapter 5, Jesus starts going through a list of everyday common issues that mankind gets tripped up on. Potholes in one's life that actually hinders, number one, it hinders the joyful life that God has for each believer. And number two, it stymies the impact that believers are to have in the world around them. So here in chapter 5, Jesus is going to start going through a laundry list of issues. He will talk about anger. He will then address sexuality. Jimmy, you're going to get that one, buddy. I'm going to let you come on up and teach all about that, buddy boy. You can handle that one for me. I like that. A little different way to look at it. Jesus is going to talk about divorce. Jesus talked about divorce. He's then going to talk about when we give our word. He is also going to address, get this one, all the Goombas in the room, paybacks. He addresses paybacks. Jesus also tells us how to handle our enemies. He's then going to talk about charity. He will then deal with our priorities. He will then deal with worry and anxiety in our world. He will then talk about snap judgments that we have on people, and then move to our basic needs. Also talk about how to spot a predator, and the results of following Jesus versus the results of not following Jesus. That is quite a laundry list, isn't it? Now, I don't know about you, but that is all stuff that I need to learn God's heart on. So we will have quite an interesting summer, but first, We want to let God know that we are here for him. So I'm going to ask the worship leaders to come up and our worship band. And before we head into the first issue that God has us talking about tonight, let's spend some time talking with him. Let's let him know that we're here to learn from him. We're here so that our hearts can be changed to become more like him. And we'll do that as we worship him, and the words will come up on the side screen. So would you please stand, say hello to someone you do not know, and before you know it, we'll be in the throes of worship. Yeah, little Christopher Cross. I remember singing that song the day I picked up my first GS1000 1980, driving down Route 92. West Virginia, singing at the top of my lungs, my brand new motorcycle. The fly went right in my mouth. And then, oh, nothing better, nothing better. You know, there's a friend, this fellow who was singing right over here, wearing a red shirt. If you'd asked me 15 years ago about that fella, I'd tell you I'd never saw him before in my life. But since then, he's become one of my best friends. And we met at the Warren County Farmers Fair by stopping at a booth that people were willing to work and spend 3 hours just getting to know people. Some people wanted to hang back, just make balloons. We make it all work. 2 years ago, I ran into another fella. This strapping, handsome young man came up to our booth and introduced himself, and we met him at the Warren County Fair, and today he is an intern here, and he is studying to be a youth pastor. And that's because people were willing to come to the booth for a 3 hour block of time from either 12 to 3, 3 to 6, or 6 to 9. And I have the sign up sheet here, which I want to pass around. I want to send a pen. If I get it back, this will all be wonderful. But just send that through. If you feel like you can commit to one of those three-hour blocks of time, put your name on there. It doesn't matter how many are on there. Put your name on there. And we're just going to send it through to the audience as we come around. It'll come back probably through KK. And just wanted to add a little extra incentive. Decided that there will be a prize. I will personally take someone to a section of the fair where I will treat you to frozen cheesecake on a stick. All right, does that sound good? So if you sign up, you got a chance. And I'm thinking I should do this every day. What do you think? I'm thinking three times. No. But how about we do that? So if you can commit to signing, but please come. Don't sign if you're not going to come, because it does have an impact, and it's made a big difference in the lives of Westbridge and the lives of those of the people that we have met. Well, tonight we're going to study anger. What's going on here? Well, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, Jesus says this. He says, "You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. But I say, if you're even angry with someone without cause, you're subject to judgment." Now, some people come to this passage in Matthew 5 and use it as a guide to God's mind on murder. But Jesus does not actually teach on murder here. He is merely pointing back to a section in their Mosaic law. That's the law of Moses, the Mosaic law. He's pointing back to that and saying, remember that? Well, let me take you deeper. Let me take you deeper into what you read. You see, murder is the product. That's the outcome. It's the outcome of a much deeper heart issue. And Jesus begins by teaching them about the roots of murder, the roots of rage, the impetus for violence. Jesus puts his finger right on anger and fury and rage. Now, we need to remember, throughout Jesus' sermon, Jesus' teachings have two purposes. The first purpose is giving instructions to each person on how they can live a full life. That's part of what this is about. If you do the things he's talking about, you will have the life to the full I've promised. The second thing that these instructions do is they tell each of us how we can be an effective billboard advertisement of God's offer of salvation. Now, where I come from, back in Union County, and street talk and for all my friends there, it would be like this. Here's what the two purposes are. This is good for you, and this is also good for God and all the kingdom. So that's how we would say it there, and that's where we're headed now. So let's dive in. Let's take a look at the concept of anger and see how you and I can actually live life to the full that Jesus is promising. Let's also get our hands around what anger is and how we are to deal with it in our lives. Okay, here we go. In the Bible, there are numerous accounts of good people and bad people becoming angry. And you'll notice even Jesus and God both got angry. You see, the emotion of anger is not a sinful action. That's not a sinful thing to be angry. But it is a ticking bomb that must be dealt with properly, or it will lead to destruction. How long we should do that, allow our anger to rest, and the expression of our anger. Remember, feeling anger itself is not wrong. That's not wrong. But gang, we must determine, first of all, what is the cause of our anger? Why do we feel it? And secondly, we have to determine, what are we supposed to do with it? What am I supposed to do with this anger? Well, gang, we need to be very careful when we allow anger to initiate our actions. And that's because God designed anger. He made it so that it would supercharge our batteries. God placed anger in our emotion bank to flip us into overdrive. You see, our anger allows us to release a heightened sense of ourselves, and our hearts pound faster. Adrenaline is released into our system, and emotions are running at a fever pitch, causing our actions to be less controlled. Proverbs 29:11 says this, A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. You see, anger is a stimulator that God designed us to handle and to motivate us, and it is triggered in us in a variety of ways. Let's look at what triggers anger in us. The first thing that triggers anger in us, these are in no specific order, but the first thing is unmet needs. Unmet needs can cause us to get angry. See, each of us have needs, and each of our needs are different. They can be immediate needs. I need this, I need it now. Or they can be long-term needs. I need this down the road. But either way, when those needs are not met, we get angry. I need my time alone. If my time alone is not met, I become angry. I need to be able to do my social activity, whatever it is, sport, hobby. I need more money. If I don't have enough money, I'm angry. I need more time. I need more understanding. I need to get there fast. I need some help from you. I need some space. I need some cooperation. And friends, we all want our needs met. We want them met. And when our needs are not met, well, that triggers anger in us. Allow me to show you. Our friend has a need for food and a little move it along. But when that need is unmet, it causes him to get angry. Gang, we all have needs, and if these needs are ours, they're important to us, and we want them met. And when this doesn't happen to our satisfaction, the emotion of anger is triggered in us, and it takes us to a higher level in order to get those needs met. So trigger number one on why we get angry is unmet needs. Second trigger, violation of our convictions. What do I mean by that? Each of us has a set of determined right and wrongs. And we feel very strongly about these convictions. So much so that when we do not see our convictions being adhered to, we become very angry. A conviction may be that you feel when someone gives their word, they should honor their word. And when they don't, well, that triggers anger in us. It's kind of like, hey, I did what I was supposed to do, so you have to do what you were supposed to do. We got an agreement. And if it doesn't happen, you get angry. Like this. Now, our friend has a conviction that reservations are supposed to put something in stone. And you can count on these. And when someone violates that conviction, well, he gets angry. Now, one of my convictions is that adults are to be respected by children. And children should be taught how to act around their elders. A couple weeks ago, I was in a McDonald's, and it was pretty busy, and there was an older lady there, and there were two small kids sitting at a table waiting for their food right by where you would order. And all in with me came an older man, and he was pretty old, probably in his 80s or almost 90s. And these two little boys, who were probably about 4 and 3, they were really mouthy. They were going at their grandmother pretty good. But hey, that's their family, you know what I mean? Next thing you know, the older man is walking beside me. He goes to the front of the line. These two boys shoot off of their the high-top table they were at, and they run right into the man and almost knock him over. And their grandmother turned to the older man and said, "They'll do that sometime." And that was it. That was all he got. That scene, that particular scene, stirred up anger in me. You see, I have a conviction that those children should act properly, and they should act appropriately, especially not running into an older gentleman and just keeping on going with it. Now, we all have convictions that we believe everybody should know and go by. We believe people should keep their word. And when that conviction is broken, we can get angry. Believing that we have the option of turning right on red and not being honked at by the car behind us because we have that option. That's a conviction. When that gets violated, we get angry. We have a conviction believing what should be taxed and what should not be taxed. And when that gets violated in our minds, we get angry. And the list goes on and on. But any of these convictions, if violated, will trigger anger in us. Okay, so far, we've identified unmet needs and violated convictions as anger triggers. We're going to look at a third one. Feeling devalued. Each of us have a bottom line for dignity or a sense of worth of ourselves. And if we feel that line is crossed, we become angry. Not long ago, I was talking to a fella on the fire department, and he told me that he had been asked to volunteer time to serve on a clothing committee. Now, this committee's job would be to decide what clothing the firemen should be able to wear and what clothing they should not be able to wear. Now, this may seem very simple, but it's not as simple as you think. They needed to do a lot of research. What was the best clothes to wear in cold weather? What clothes could be removed the fastest and most effectively? Could the clothing be worn underneath their turnout gear inside a fire? How does it feel in the summer and how does it feel in the winter? Would the clothing be proper attire to be worn in public? Would it keep up the proper image? Was it proper to be worn at the firehouse? Even they had to decide what hats should be worn and what dress uniforms should look like. So at a proper time, my friend and others submitted their written proposal, and they had spent many hours on this, many hours. And in the end, he told me, not a single one of their clothing proposals was adopted. Instead, one higher up fella made all the decisions. He wasn't even on that team. He made all the decisions, and he picked whatever he wanted. And my friend told me, quite angrily, I will never volunteer for another assignment like that again. He felt totally devalued, and he felt ignored. And gang, that will trigger anger. When a wife feels that her opinion is discarded, she feels devalued, which will lead to anger. When a husband isn't backed up on a boundary that he has set, he's going to feel devalued. When your friends leave you off of a group text, you can feel devalued. When you are discarded, dismissed, or even devalued, you will get angry. These are the reasons people become angry. These are three major triggers. But gang, when dealing with anger, identifying which one of these triggers is being pulled is really only half the battle. That tells us the why we're getting angry. You know, we just finished our motorcycle ride, and we always go for 4 days, and on our final day, always the same thing happens. We really push hard to get home. We've had our fun and games, it's been a good time, but we want to get home and see our families. We love our wives and our families, we want to see them. So we usually ride as hard and as fast as we can on the highway. No more scenic routes. We get on the highway and we get going. Let's get home and let's get there fast. So that was a couple days ago. That was Thursday. We were in Massachusetts. We were on I-91. And just want to let you know, I'll give you the driving conditions. Everybody else on the road was driving like lunatics. And I'm getting angry. I would get cut off. I'd get run out of my lane. And I would make sure when that happened, I would run right up alongside that person just so I could give them the look. Then I would zoom around them so I could sit in front of them so they could see the head shake. That's when I thought about the anger triggers. I asked myself, what am I not getting that I feel I should be getting? Ah, my need for lane space was getting unmet. And that helped me just a little bit. It wasn't that, I knew that was the reason I was mad. It wasn't that I hate New Englanders. It wasn't that everybody on the road is an idiot. It wasn't that at all. It was just my need for lane space was going unmet. So, we get the why we get angry. Now, let's get to some action points. The actual what we need to do with our anger. Here we go. Action step number one. Point one. Change your expectation. A lot of us, including good old Pastor Drew, live in a dream world. And in this dream world, we expect things to be a certain way when there is actually no reason in the world for us to believe that things should be that way. For instance, a parent raises their child without ever teaching them to be responsible, okay? A parent raises a child, never teaches them to be responsible. And when the child has to be responsible later in their life, the parent is shocked when the child acts irresponsibly. Saw this in real life recently. A child, college, their parents paid for this person to go to a summer course. They paid for the summer course. The parents paid lots of money. You're going to go to the summer course. Well, the child found out on day one of the course that the course started at 8 a.m. This child, never being taught responsibility, said, "That's too early. And I'm not going to get up at 8 o'clock. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to go to the class at all." They never told their parents. The parents found out long after the class was over, and then when they tried to get their money back, they couldn't get their money back for the class. It had already ended. You see, those parents had an expectation they should never have had. They should have changed their expectation knowing what they were dealing with. Or let's say you have a friend who is always late. You have a friend who's always late. And you tell the friend you need them to show up on time to something. And when they show up late, you get angry. Dude, You need to change your expectation. That's what that person does. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about lowering our standards, and I'm not talking about giving up our convictions. What I am talking about, though, is that when you're not getting something that you want and you're getting angry, make sure you're not expecting things to magically be different than they have always been. Change the expectation. Next, I'm not getting what we want. Step two, realize God is in control. Friends, when we are not getting something we want, you may not be getting that something because God doesn't want you to have it. On the motorcycle trip, day one, we had to do a lot of miles on day one. We knew we had to get up to New Hampshire in one day so that we'd have 3 days to strike at the mountain weather wouldn't shut us out. So we did a long, hard ride. We rode to almost 9 o'clock. We left in the morning at 8 o'clock, and we were pulling into the hotel. But what happened was we had only one spot that tricked us up in New Hampshire. We got turned around, and we weren't sure exactly where we were going, and we started to lose some time because you're going in the wrong direction. I think we're going the wrong direction. You figure it out. It's very difficult, and we did realize we were going the wrong direction. We turned it around, and we went going, but we lost some time. Obviously, you're going to lose time on that. But it wasn't about 20 minutes later, we started to smell something. It's a smell like if you took fresh green leaves off a tree and put them in a blender and just blended green leaves, like fresh cut grass, but multiplied. And all of a sudden we entered into this twilight world of just greenery all over the road. Green leaves strewn all over the road, but they were chopped to pieces. And then branches were down, then fire trucks were there, and then trees were down, and then power lines were down. And here we are riding through on motorcycles. When we got to our destination, and they said, "Wow, how did you guys do? What happened to you guys in the hailstorm?" We said, "What hailstorm?" They said, "We had a monster hailstorm, like we'd never seen around here in a while. You guys must have come right through it." I said, "Nope, we missed it by about 20 minutes. Best we could figure." Gang, sometimes there's things that we want that God doesn't want you to have because he's still in control. We're real good. We're real good at wanting to be God. The only problem is we're terrible at being God. We're terrible at it. Israel, if they wanted to be God, they would have had Israel released from Egypt on the very first plague. God did not want Israel released on the first plague. Pretty important to get to plague number 10. Israel might have wanted one of their seasoned soldiers to go out and fight Goliath to cross that valley. God didn't want that. God wanted a shepherd boy who was bringing lunch to his brothers. That's who God wanted to fight that giant. And Noah, he might have wanted God to put that ark down on ground after 40 days of rain and maybe 6 months of floating on water, or 8 months, 9 months, 10 months. God said, "Nope, you will float for a year. You will float for a year, and then I will put you down on dry ground." Now, if anyone in those scenarios got angry for wanting something other than what God wanted, they would have been in direct opposition to God himself. We need to realize that God is in control. And when we get angry because there's something we want that we're not getting, we need to change our expectation, realize God's in control. And action point number three, look far ahead before you leap. Look way down the road before you do something, man. One of our core values here at Westbridge in our leadership is this: don't start fires that are gonna take you years to put out. You see, when you're angry, you're poised to react without thinking. You don't think through the immediate, and you don't even think through the long-range consequences of what you're gonna say or do. As someone who has done that, I am chiefest on this. Let me tell you, you will regret it you will regret the angry reaction that you have. It is way better to stop, do nothing, and consider the impact that is looming, long term and short term. Then instead of making an emotional reaction, we need to have a spiritual response, and that leads us to action step number 4. Spiritual responses, not emotional reactions. Gang, emotional reactions have gotten the best of all of us, haven't they? Emotional reactions are something that can be spoken. They can be texted. Emotional reactions can be emailed, voicemailed, Facebook, Snapchatted, Instagrammed, or you could paint it on a wall. The list goes on and on. Emotional reactions come when we are supercharged with anger and we're not self-controlled. And gang, those two, being supercharged and not being self-controlled, that is a lethal duo, a monstrous Molotov cocktail. Step number 4 says wait until the anger emotion and any other emotion for that matter dies down. Then, when that emotion dies down, guided by God's Spirit, move into a spiritual response. A spiritual response will make the appropriate corrections and it will aim to change the situation. Emotional reaction. Here's an emotional reaction. I'm never riding in Massachusetts on my motorcycle again. Well, cool your jets, Mr. Emotion. How about this? How about a spiritual response? Well, if I ride in Massachusetts, I should probably stay on side roads, and I should stay away from the big cities, and I shouldn't run through there during rush hour. Emotional reactions say, the buffet line is moving too slow. Well, instead of shooting dirty looks at people, how about not going to the buffet line at primo hours like noon or 5 p.m.? And if your car reservation is messed up, maybe next time, don't use the cheapest car rental place in the entire universe to rent your car. When you're about to speak or act, ask yourself, is this an emotional reaction I'm about to have, or is it a spiritual response? And always choose the latter, the spiritual response. So in closing, He wants us to use our anger to make appropriate corrections. He wants us to use our anger to help us change the situation at hand. And he wants it, remember, what are the two big things? He wants it for the betterment of his kingdom, and he wants it for our own finding life to the full. Allow me to submit this to you, and you chew on this. If you are prone to be an angry, grouchy, crabby, nasty person, if you are prone to that, I'm going to let you in a little secret. That's not the side of you anybody likes. Let me say that again. If you are prone to be an angry, grouchy, crabby, nasty person, that ain't the side of you anybody likes. Take that to the bank. We must remember, God is counting on us to be an attractive advertisement for him. I'm not so sure that the drivers I ran into contact with in Massachusetts will be coming to Westbridge because of my light shining. I'm afraid I kind of blew it up there, guys. We're not going to do well in that as missionaries up there. I owe you that one. We are expected by God to be an attractive advertisement for him. The last thing he wants us to do is to be a detriment to that calling. Jesus has just finished saying, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We're not just dealing with these issues here. They were dealing with them when Jesus was standing right in front of them. But he wants us to deal with them. And he wanted to give us, here's how it works. Here's how you can be successful. Here's how you can ride into the kingdom. Here's how you can enter through those glorious gates, riding high on a horse with saddlebags filled with good deeds you have done and people you have won to the kingdom because of the way your light has shone. I'm going to ask the band and worship leaders to come back as we close out our time together, asking God, change us. Lord, let the power, remember, you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you if you have asked him, if you have become a follower of Jesus. We need to engage that Holy Spirit before we make the mistake. Ask God, Lord, stop me before I say something dumb. Stop me before I let my anger have an emotional reaction. Stop me and help me to know what I'm supposed to do. Help me to realize it's simply a need that's going unmet. It's simply a conviction that someone else doesn't have that I have. And help me to make the proper response. Help my response, my spiritual response, to be one that lets my light shine. That they say, wow, now that guy did what I didn't expect. That girl did something I never would have seen people do. It must be the Spirit of God. Would you stand with us? Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, that as we realize that we become angry because our needs go unmet, there's something we want that we're not getting. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to remember the rest of the sermon that you've taught so far, that it was all about finding life to the full and really being an advertisement for your kingdom. And Lord, I ask that you would help Westbridge Community Church to put greater emphasis, to put a greater want on wanting the best for your kingdom. If that costs us some of our life to the full, let that be the case. Let us be people who are focused on your kingdom moving forward faster, on you having your kingdom to the full, your desires to the full. Lord, I do pray that you would let your Spirit be mighty in us and change us. Stop us before we make the mistakes. Challenge us to do the right things. And help us to realize that this is not just a club we're in. We're soldiers on a battlefield trying to pull people from the jaws of hell. And we make mistakes. Thank you for forgiving us from them, but Lord, help us to do better each day, that we would take ground for your kingdom. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Jesus addressed anger tonight. He doesn't pull any punches. Next week he goes after lust. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you next week at 7 o'clock.